Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. That's going to be our focus scripture this morning, conquering worry. A 95-year-old woman at a nursing home received a visit from one of her fellow church members. And he asked her, "How are you feeling?" "Oh," said the lady, "I'm just very sick." "What are you worrying about, dear? You look great. You look that you're doing good. They're not taking good care of you here?" And he says, "Yes, they are taking very good care of me." And then he asked her, "Well then, dear, why are you worried?" And the lady leaned back in her rocking chair and said, "Well, every close friend that I have ever had has already died and gone to heaven. And I'm worried that they are wondering where I went." And the point is this: every stage in life provides us a reason for worry. We worry about so many things. We worry about finances. We worry about health. We worry about marriage, about our family future. We worry about our jobs. We worry about getting old. And the list goes on and on and on and on. But whether you are 19 or 95, the reason for your peace remains the same. Give all your worries. Give all your cares to Jesus. And in Philippians chapter 4, if we want to turn there this morning, beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul tells us this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus." And as we meditate on this passage of scripture, real quickly, I want us to see that the Apostle Paul is giving us three directives regarding worry. And the first one is this: believe that all worry is needless. How many of us can say amen to that this morning? Believe that all worry is needless. In verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for what? For nothing." Do you know what nothing means? Nothing. Anxiety and worry are inevitable in this present life. This is a very challenging scripture, you know. Because here God is giving us a commandment and he's saying, be anxious or be worried for nothing. But we're living in a world, we're living in a life where anxiety and worry are just inevitable. We live in a fallen world. And nothing in this life is secure. It don't matter whether you're 19 or 95. I want to say something to you this morning. Things can happen to any of us at any moment in life. Even when we love Jesus, where our lives can change in a moment and in a split of a second. And every day, we face many challenges. The challenge of providing for our families. The challenge of paying our bills. The challenge of doing our jobs. But I want to give you some facts and some statistics this morning that I want you to write. If you count the men and the women and the children that Moses will lead out of Egypt, Moses would have led 2 to 3 million. How many? He was pastoring a huge church. Moses led some 2 to 3 million people out of Egypt into the wilderness. Now I want you to think for a moment, the amount of provision needed to care for such mass of humanity is staggering. Now it is estimated by military strategists that there were the people of Israel, an army on the march, it would have required 1,500 tons of food per day to feed them. And you think you had a problem feeding your children? Moses required 1,500 tons of food per day to feed 2 to 3 million people. Enough to fill a freight train of 2 miles long. And an army in the desert requires a lot of water, not just for drinking, but for bathing. Hopefully the 2 million of them were taking a bath every day. Water for drink water and bathing. And this will require, they estimate, listen to the statistics, 11 million gallons of water each day needed to sustain the Israelites in the desert. Each night, as they make camp, they will need a campground to be 2/3 of the size of Rhode Island. They needed a lot of room. They needed a huge amount of space to be able to camp. Approximately 750, how many? 750 square miles just to be able to camp every day. Do you think that Moses had this all calculated before he left Egypt? How did he imagine that he would find these provisions in the wilderness? And the answer is this. Moses trusted that as long as God was leading them, he will provide for their needs. And friend, as you look at your life today, you may be wondering, where are you going to find what you need? How are you going to get out of the situation and the problem that we're in? How are you going to overcome the challenges that we are facing? But friend, if God took care of Moses, if he took care of 2 and 3 million Israelites in the wilderness, do you really think, friend, that he will not take care of your needs today? And the word is this. Stop worrying. Stop worrying about things that are out of control. No matter how much you worry about the problems, no matter how much you worry about your spouse, about your children, about your boss, you are out of control. You can do absolutely nothing about it. Stop worrying, because you don't have the ability to do anything anyway. And instead, choose today to place your trust on the God that is faithful to provide every need and every situation that you are facing today. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus said this. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow. They have it easy. I wish I had a bird. I was a bird. They fly everywhere on first class and they don't have to pay a ticket. They get free food. They don't have to work for food. They don't have to punch a time card 8 to 5. They do not sow, he says, or reap or store away in barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? You are more valuable to God than a bird. You are more valuable to God than anything in this world. God sees value in every one of us, church. Anxiety and worry come in when there is a disconnect from Jesus. Let me repeat that again. Anxiety and worry will come in when there is a disconnect from Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said this. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all the things the Gentiles seek, or all the things the unbelievers, those that do not have a relationship with me,
Sí.
So Jesus is giving us a principle there, and it's this. Jesus is making it very clear that anxiety and worry stem from a lack of faith and a wrong focus on the things of this life instead of Jesus. I don't know about you, but personally, I'm facing many, many challenges, many difficult things. And the moment that I take my eyes away from Jesus, I begin to sink in worry, just like Peter. But in Jesus, I find courage. In Jesus, I find strength. And in Jesus, I find my hope. Often, we try to excuse our worry by saying, well, Pastor Ana, you know what I'm going through. And anybody would feel worry in this situation. I'm only human. Friend, God wants us to have his joy in every situation. But this is only possible when we seek first the kingdom of God and not our happiness. I want to share a principle with you that the Bible clearly teaches us, and it's this. The unbelievers seek happiness, and a believer seeks the kingdom of God. There is a big difference. And this is the reason why individuals that do not have a relationship with the Lord live in constant worry, in constant anxiety, in constant depression. Because seeking happiness causes anxiety. Write that in your notes. This is a principle that nobody can change. When you look for happiness, you open a door to worry. Why? Because happiness depends on the things of this world. Happiness depends on people. Happiness depends on job, on looks, on money. Happiness depends on things that are constantly changing. So therefore, happiness is not stable. And when looking for happiness is the focus of our lives, we simply are going to be a worrisome people. But seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness produces joy, a joy that is supernatural, that nobody or nothing in this world can give us. And that joy is not subject to people. When you have the joy of the Lord, your spouse can divorce you and you will still have joy. When you have the joy of the Lord, they can fire you from your job and you will still have joy. When you have the joy of the Lord, you can get sick and you can still have joy. Because joy does not depend on anything or anyone of this world, but it depends on God. It comes from God. Anxiety is the byproduct of being too preoccupied with self. Let me repeat that again. Anxiety and worry are the byproducts of being too preoccupied with self. Do you realize how draining it can be when you live to have your needs met at all times? How draining is that? When every morning you're waking up and rather than thanking God for a new day, rather than thanking God for being able to speak and walk and see this morning you look at spouse and you say, I'm feeling miserable in this marriage because you're not meeting my needs. You look to your pastor and you say, I'm leaving this church and I'm going to the church around the corner because you are not meeting my needs. When you look at your friends and you say, I'm looking for another friend because you are no longer meeting my needs. How draining. What a waste of time to be living a life that is always focused in having our own needs met. But Jesus is offering us his peace today. But the peace of Jesus is only the byproduct of a life that is making him the Lord of our lives and that is living to find and seek the kingdom of heaven. Now, this doesn't mean that we're not going to be a people that are concerned about some real needs in our lives. For instance, it is proper to be concerned about your future, especially with what is going on in the politics of this nation. Social Security might not be here 20 years from now. So it is proper to be concerned about a future to the extent that we take responsibility to plan and to save for a future. But proper concern turns into worry and anxiety when we lack faith in God's role as provider. When we put self as the center instead of the kingdom of God and the righteousness as the focus and the search of our heart. Number two, turn your worries into prayers. I have a prayer journal that I keep throughout the years. And if I were to show you my prayer journal, which I'm not, because there are some things in there that might scare you. But if you were to look at my prayer journal, my prayers are mostly my worries. We need to pray the most about what? About the things that we worry the most. Write this in your notes. We need to pray the most about the things that we worry the most. If your biggest worry is your marriage, you need to pray for your marriage. If your biggest worry are your children, you need to pray for your children. If your biggest worry is your job, you need to pray for your job and you need to pray for your manager. If your biggest worry is the condition of this nation, rather than complaining and rather than expressing and criticizing in social media, rather we need to turn that into prayers. Paul says something very amazing. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your what? Let your request be made known to God. When Paul says, let your request be made to God, known to God, the Greek there is very interesting. The Greek there means, he says, come face to face with God. I love that. Do you ever get on the face of Jesus? He says, come face to face with God. Come right straight before him and let him know your request. The Father welcomes you into his presence. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, he says, come boldly. In other words, you don't have to come being afraid that he's going to reject you. You don't have to come saying, I can come before the presence of God because I got to get my life together. No, we must come as we are. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Instead of worry, I want to give you an advice this morning, which I practice in my own life. Instead of worry, shape your worries into prayer. And go directly to the Father and let him know your concern. Father, I come boldly before you this morning because I'm worried for my marriage. Father, I come before you this morning because I'm worried for my health. Father, I come boldly before you this morning because I'm worried for my nation. Turn your worries into prayers, church. Instead of worry, we need to see that our total need of God is in God and not on temporary things. We need to see our total need of God and not on temporary things. Paul says, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. The word there, supplication, is very interesting in prayer because it has a very specific meaning. The word supplication means a bending down, and it indicates a bowing or a kneeling in submission to God. To supplicate is this. To supplicate is to ask for something very specific with a humble attitude. I love something that my brother, Pastor Frank, says. And he says this. There are no Burger Kings in heaven. There are no fast lanes in heaven where you go and say, give me a combo number two, give me a combo number four. There are no Burger Kings and there are no McDonald's in heaven. When you ask something for God, we must be specific because we serve a specific God and he wants us to pray specific prayers. Many people think, oh, God knows my need. So why do I need to ask God for anything? Because prayer is not so much for God's sake, but it's for your sake. Prayer is an expression of trust. Prayer is an expression of faith. When we ask for something specific out of God, we're saying this to God: I'm asking you this because I know that you have the power to give it to me. And God loves when his people express his trust and faith to him. We need to cast our cares on God because God is our Father. Do you know God as your Father? So many people know Jesus as the Savior and Healer and God, but do you know God as your Father? Now, a father's job is to provide and take care of his family. I remember when I was a little girl living with my parents, and I wish that I could go back to those days. Because I didn't have to worry about paying a bill. I didn't have to worry about paying rent. I didn't have to worry about buying groceries. I didn't have to worry about paying FPNL. Why? Because as a child, my father took care of all those things for me. All I had to do was to go to school, play, eat, socialize, and then leave those important matters to my father. God is your father. And God wants to take care of your need. And we need to learn to trust God for every single need of our life. And lastly, know that the peace of God in the heart will vanish all worry. In verse 7, he says this: the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the peace that God gives is a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know why? Because this is not a peace that the world can understand. This is not a peace that the world can give you. This is not a peace that a therapist can give you. This is not a peace where we practice some sort of psychological system to find peace, or we practice some sort of coping method to find peace. This is a peace that only comes from God. And God is never worried. God is never anxious. God is always existing in a state of complete and total peace, no matter what is going on around in this world. It's a deep peace. It's precious. And it's a shield to the mind and the soul. In Judges chapter 6, verse 24, Gideon said something that I love. If you turn there with me. In Judges chapter 6, verse 24, it says there that Gideon built an altar. An altar is a place of worship. An altar is a place of encounter with God. An altar is a place where intimacy between you and God takes place. So it says there that Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and he called it, "The Lord is peace." The Lord is peace. You see, when Gideon says that the Lord is peace, or the Lord is Jehovah Shalom, he is saying that when we are near to the presence of God, we are at peace. That is what God's presence meant to Gideon. God's presence meant peace to Gideon. And when we are anxious, when we are afraid, when we are weary, we need to go to our Heavenly Father. Because with him, there is no problem that is too great. There is no sickness that he cannot heal. There is no situation that he cannot give us a breakthrough. And no one cares more about you, and no one wants to help us more than Jesus, our Heavenly Father. And as we stay near him, we will have peace. The psalmist said that we need to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. The peace of God displaces worry. The peace of God displaces worry. Paul says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the word guard there in the Greek is very, very interesting. Because in the Greek, the word guard is a warrior's duty. It's like a bodyguard that protects you from harm and danger. In other words, what Paul is saying to us in this passage of scripture is this: the peace of God is the bodyguard of your mind. The peace of God is the bodyguard of your heart. When the devil comes at you with negative thoughts that want to torment you and instill fear in your heart, the peace of God stands and says, back off, you're not touching her, you're not touching him. God's peace guards and protects you of the negative thoughts. And it's so easy for those thoughts to come. I'm amazed sometimes at myself. I have been serving Jesus for almost 30 years. And I'm going to be very honest with you. Sometimes things come my way that I see negative thoughts coming to torment me, to steal the peace and the joy and the freedom of Christ in my heart. And that those thoughts are the doors to worry. The doors to worry in your life is in your mind. The things that you think would either give you peace, if we think according to the Word of God, if we meditate on the Word of God rather than on the problem, the Word of God will give us peace and it will guard our hearts. But if we meditate on the things of the world, if we allow our thoughts, if we allow our feelings to go freely, that would open doors to anxiety and worry. But the peace of God, what Paul is teaching us, is that the peace of God is militant peace. I love that. The peace of God is militant peace. It does something. The peace of God is active. It's not passive. It does something. It takes warlike functions. And it guards the mind and the heart of the believer. God's peace stands on guard duty to secure your mind and heart. God's peace is your personal bodyguard. Did you know that you had a bodyguard? God's peace is your personal bodyguard. God's peace is your secret agent with you in every stage of life. That when the devil comes with lies, that when your mind comes with negative thoughts, God's peace or your bodyguard stands and says, back off, you are not getting in. We need to reach out to God constantly to receive this peace. Psalms 14 and verse 2, and with this I'm closing. It says that the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see something, to see if there is any who understand and who seeks God. You know what this tells us? Is that God is looking for those that are seeking him. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what you do, and regardless of what you're going through. And that the smallest cry of your heart moves the hand of God to work in your behalf. Whenever I'm going through something, I have learned, Father, help me. Because just a simple cry, it doesn't have to be a complicated prayer. It doesn't have to be a prayer where you quote in the Greek and the Hebrew and Isaiah and Revelation. No. Just a simpler cry that says to God, God, I believe that you are my helper. I believe that you are my provider. And Lord, help me in this. That cry releases the hand of God to work in your behalf. A Swedish proverb says this: worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Conversely, it gives a big God a small shadow. Church, do you know the peace of God in the midst of your situation? Can you be in peace while the rest of the world is worried and is anxious about things? If not, I want us to examine our hearts this morning. I want us to search our minds this morning. What kind of things have we been thinking about? Have we been meditating on the goodness of the Lord? Have we been meditating on the promises of God and on a God that is faithful to do everything that he has promised in his word? Or rather, have we been thinking too much about the problem? Have we been placing our trust on people rather than on our God? Examine yourself this morning. Is your faith in him? Are you focused on the kingdom of God rather than on self? Have you come face to face with God in reverent prayer? Have you present your worries before the throne of grace and turn your worries into prayers? You can cast your burdens on Jesus today. He will accept you. He will not reject you. And you can have this indescribable supernatural peace in whatever circumstances you are facing today.